was wrong is now right. It's just confusing, isn't it? But God never changes. The Bible tells us that in Malachi that God says he changes not. We want to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And we do that by studying the scriptures. We do that by learning about him. And we do that by gaining the wisdom from above. And we want to look at some things today that will be correlate with that song that Brother Randy just led us in singing. I'd like you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're actually going to begin there in Deuteronomy chapter 10, but the foundation of our text is in chapter 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep charge his command, his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and have not seen the chastising of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm." That's who God is. And as we're looking at this, we want to go back to chapter 10 and be thinking about that statement. And in chapter 10, if we're looking at chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, listen to what Moses said. "At that time the Lord said to me, 'Hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablet, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark.'" And so the two tablets are made by Moses. He takes them up on the mountain, and God writes on those however he chooses, and he writes the Ten Commandments again the second time. And Moses makes the ark, and those tablets eventually are brought down and put into that ark. In chapter 10, in verse 8, the Lord separates the tribe of Levi to the service of the Lord and to bear the ark up. Chapter 10 and verse 11, we see that Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on that mountain, just like he did the first time. And when he was to come down, the Lord told him, "Arise and begin your journey. Go before the people that they may go in the presence and possess the land which I swore to your fathers to give them." And of course, he's talking about Genesis chapter 12, when he had promised Abraham a land to possess. And then Moses addresses Israel. We want to read verses 12 through 22. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for good, and heaven and high, and indeed heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is to this day. Therefore, circumcise your..." We're going to skip that here and go down to verse 21. "He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen, and your fathers went down to Egypt with the 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars in the heavens, a multitude." Great things. Moses told the people the value of love and obedience in the chapter that we're about to read. And in verse 22 of chapter 11, Moses, he says, "For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to hold fast to him, then..." I want you to be thinking about all the great things that God has done for the people. All that He did, the signs, the great wonders, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, all the plagues in Egypt that God performed. He destroyed the armies of Pharaoh, causing them to drown in the Red Sea, covered by that water as they pursued God's people. He caused the earth to open up, and that earth swallowed Dathan and Abiram and Reuben and all their households, all their worldly goods, everything, even their tents were swallowed up by God's hand. And then Moses tells the people what they must do to keep the commandments of God. Hold fast to Him. You see that? Hold fast to Him. Wow. I think that's amazing. What great things God did. All those things that God did. And no man could stand up against Him. God is mighty. His arms outstretched. There is nothing that can stop God. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 8 and 7, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, in a land flowing with milk and honey. In verse 14, he says, it shall be that if you earnestly obey the commandments which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then, he says, then what? The beginning or the end of verse 14, he says, I will give you rain for your land in its seasons, in the early rain and the latter rain. In verse 15, I will send grass to your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. That's what God said. And He's doing this for His people if they keep His commandments. And God warns them in verse 16 to take heed to yourselves, He says, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods. I want you to be thinking about this. The things that we must hold fast to. When I read verses 18 and verse 22, I see that if you carefully keep all the commandments, he says. He says that the commandments that God has commanded. If you love the Lord your God, then walk in all His ways. Hold to the unchanging hand. Walk in all His ways. He says, hold fast to Him, and then great things will happen. What great things happened? He drove out their enemies. Even the enemies that were mightier than Israel, He drove them out. And as He drove out these enemies, every time their sole or their foot touched the ground, that land became theirs. That's how great God is. And no man was able to stand against Him. And so we hold fast. We hold fast. So let's, in the remaining time that we have, we just want to talk about a few things that we must hold fast to in the Bible. Just a few. For example, we have to hold fast to the truth. When we look at this, we realize that the truth, it's so important because the truth is in Christ. And that's where our salvation is. Paul teaches that salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 10. Paul tells us to endure all things for the sake, he endured all things for the sake of the elect. Why? That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we need to hold on to that. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, we all know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And no man comes to the Father but through Him. So we ask the question simply, why must we hold fast to the truth? Why? Well, the obvious answer is that Jesus is the truth. He's the only way to the Father in heaven. That we can't live in things that are partial truths or maybe a little twisted truth or maybe just a piece and a part of the truth or not truth at all, because that can't get us to heaven. We can't do that. Listen, when you listen to people who teach what they call the gospel and it doesn't come out the same as what the book says, they're not speaking truth. We need to hold fast to the truth, and especially in the time in which we live. Not only that, but you know, perverting the truth will never lead us to the Father. It only separates us from Him forever. We cannot afford to twist the truth or mishandle it in any way, shape, or form. 2 Timothy 2:15, God tells us to be diligent to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly handling the word of truth. And so the truth is something that is powerful. It's powerful. You know, once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, you could say. And as he's walking down the road, they notice some man walking ahead of them, and the man bends down and he picks something up off the ground, something really shiny. And this cohort asked the devil, what was that that he picked up? And the devil says, a little piece of the truth. And the cohort says, oh, well, we got to stop him. We don't want him to have any part of the truth. And the devil says, no, that's okay. You see, I'll just get him to start a new religion with that little bit of truth. And that's what the world has done. They're not holding fast to the truth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, they're just taking little bits and pieces. I've always known that the difference between the Lord's people, the Lord's church, is that they don't divide up the truth. They don't divvy it up into categories. Well, this is important, that's not so important, that's really important, and this, that's not important at all. A lot of people do that, bits and pieces. The devil uses that against us. We need to be very careful. A piece of the truth, that doesn't bother the devil, because he'll use it to make all new religion, all in the name of Jesus. Truth taken out of context and twisted and is the basis for every false religion that exists in our time today. The fact is that God is true and every man is a liar, Romans 10 and 3. The fact is that we must worship God in spirit and truth, John chapter 4, verse 24. And Jesus said that in His words, they are the Spirit and the Spirit gives life, John chapter 6 and verse 63. And the truth of God, which is God's Word, John 17, 17, is what we have to hold on to. The truth is critical. It's critical for our soul's salvation. And we can't be a people of God and only pick up bits and pieces of the truth. No, we've got to hold on to the whole truth. In John chapter 6, you know, the people came, they were fed by Jesus. They came looking for Jesus again, and they wanted to be fed. They wanted to be fed more bread, more food. And Jesus goes in, and in the dialogue in John chapter 6, Jesus is telling them that I am the bread. It's not the physical bread that you ate that you need. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Of course, that aggravated the people. Boy, and the people were all upset. And so they said, our fathers gave us manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. Of course, Jesus, he tells them, it wasn't them who gave you that bread, but it was the Father in heaven. And in verse 48, Jesus tells them plainly, I am the bread of life. And they didn't like that. And so what happened to them? It says that they were upset, they complained about what he said. And in verse 63 of that chapter, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are the Spirit, and they are life. The words, the truth of God. Of course, we know in verse 66 that from that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked with him no more. Why? Because he told them the truth. Because they couldn't handle that truth. And then Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, well, are you going to go also? And of course, those great words from Simon Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life, of eternal life. And we also have come to believe, what? That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what happens when you hold to the truth. You come to the realization that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He is the only way to the Father. And so hold fast to that truth. You know, three boys were asked one time, define faith. And the one boy, he says, faith is holding on to God. Taking hold of God. The other boy said, faith is holding on to God. And the third boy said, faith is never, ever letting go of God. They're all right, aren't they? Every one of them. We have to take hold of God. We have to hold on to God, and we have to make sure we never, ever let go. We've got to hold on to the truth. Jesus gave really good advice about that in John chapter 8 and verse 32. We all know Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Hold on to the truth. The truth makes you free in this world, free from the sin and the slavery of it. It makes you free to choose the direction that is right in the eyes of God. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks or what it teaches. You got to hold on to the truth. And the sad part is that many people have versions of the truth today. There might be some here tonight, a version of the truth. A revision from last year. I've changed my mind. I think differently. God changes not. His word endures forever. And you need to think about that. If what you believed last month isn't the same as what you believed this month, make sure that what you believe this month is according to the truth. And hold fast to that. Another thing we have to hold fast to is our integrity. Think about that. Remember what Job's wife asked him and said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. What did Job do? He held fast to his integrity, didn't he? Integrity is the quality of being honest. It's having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. That's what integrity is. That's a friend that should be found inside of us. And for the Christian, that friend is the Lord Jesus. That friend is the Holy Spirit. That's through the Word of God. We have this precious gift, this friend right inside of us. And we need to hold fast to that. Because it guides us into all righteousness. Throughout his administration, Abraham Lincoln, he was a president under great duress, under fire, especially during the scarring of the Civil War. And Abraham Lincoln, He knew that he was going to make mistakes. He knew he wasn't a perfect man. He knew he was going to do things that exactly weren't right while he was in office. And so he resolved to never compromise his integrity. Abraham Lincoln, so strong was his resolve that he penned these words. Abraham Lincoln said, "I desire so to conduct my affairs in this administration that at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, if I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left. And that friend shall be down inside of me, my integrity." Well, we have a friend, don't we? We have a friend in Jesus Christ. He said, "You are my friends if you keep my commandments." Keeping his commandments is walking in moral principle, moral uprightness. It's walking in righteousness. It's holding to your integrity. So hold on. Hold fast to your integrity. Another thing, hold fast to the word. That's kind of obvious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you." That's what? The gospel is the truth. It's the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And Paul says, "You received that word which I preached, and in which you stand, and in which you are saved." The power of God, his word. If, he said, you're saved. Well, if, what? If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. Hold fast to the word of God. How powerful is that word? That word created everything. In the beginning, God spoke. Wow. Think of the Word of God, and we have that at our fingertips. Jesus gave us a great example when he held to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 4, when he faced the devil in the wilderness after having not eaten or drank anything 40 days. That devil tried to tempt him, didn't he? And every single time he told that devil something out of the Word of God. That was the thing that combated the devil. That was the thing that turned the devil away. When the devil said, "Make bread of these stones," he says, "God." When he tells him to jump off the highest temple, "God." "Love me and worship me," "God." And he says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to hold fast to that word. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he tells him to hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to the word. Protect that word and let that word protect you. And you know what happens? It protects you from the father of lies, from the devil. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Hold fast. So here's a question for y'all. Just think about this. Are you holding fast to the head? We have to hold fast to the head. And we know who that head is. That head is Christ Jesus. Paul warns us not holding fast to the head. It causes a lot of problems. It causes the body to be malnourished. It causes the body literally to come apart and cease to exist. Not holding on to the head, which is Christ. The body becomes dysfunctional. And we don't want to be cheated out of your reward, right? Out of our reward. We don't want to be cheated out of our reward by letting go of the head. We want to hold on to the head. So the best way, as we look at this, to hold on to that head, if you remember, is to study God's Word. Know exactly who Jesus is. And the best way to find all these things is simply hold fast to everything that is good. That's what Paul said. You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard a motivational speaker, and I listened to him for a little bit. And this motivational speaker said, you hold to what is useful in your life and you throw out everything that isn't useful. That's pretty good advice. Sounds pretty familiar too, doesn't it? Hold fast to what is good means behaving like a Christian. We need to behave like Christians. We are Christians. We need to behave like Christians. Paul said, let love be without hypocrisy. He said, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from everything that is evil. Romans 12, 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. And he tells us not to believe every spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21. Test those spirits. Hold fast to what is good. The writer of the letters of Hebrews, he said, hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. But Jesus is the Son over his own house. If we hold fast to our confidence, then we're partakers of that house. We're in that house. We're building blocks for that house. And that's a big mouthful when you think about it. But listen, Jesus is the head that we're holding fast to. He's the Word that we're holding fast to. He's the integrity, the source of it, that we hold fast to. He's the great high priest, the Son of God. He's our confession in which we are also to hold fast to. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hold fast to that confession. And we can with boldness then, according to that Hebrew writer, enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, our confession. Hold fast to that. Hebrews 10, 19. And so, holding fast to these things is holding fast to the Word of God, to Jesus, the truth, and to the salvation, to our salvation through Him. Jesus wrote the words in the letter to Revelation. John recorded the words of Jesus in the letter of Revelation. And we want to note just a couple things there. If you look in Revelation chapter 2, and you'll see the church there of Pergamos. And in chapter 2 and in verses 13 through 15, he's calling that the compromising church. And in Revelation 2:13, Jesus says, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Listen, we are kind of a mirror of that. We're in a world that hates Christianity, hates really, many people hate what's good and they love what's evil. And they're all being manipulated and controlled by the devil through all forms of media and books and so on and preaching. And Jesus says, I know your works, where you dwell. And he says, and you hold fast my name. We need to hold fast to the name of Jesus and did not deny my faith. You know, there's many, many people in this world that are offended by the name of Jesus. Well, hold fast to that name. There are people in this world that you can talk about God all day long, but you mention Jesus and they're going to get offended. Hold fast to that name. There's no name more powerful than the name of Jesus. There's no name by which anybody can be saved but by the name of Jesus. Hold fast to that name. That's what Jesus is telling us. Jesus is coming and we have to hold fast and we have to repent. You know, it's great advice for us with the influence of this world and with Satan. There's power in holding fast to the name of Jesus. Now we have to hold fast and repent. I got ahead of myself. Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. In other words, we study God's word, we receive this word in, we take it and eat and drink it, we seek after righteousness. Hold fast to those things. Let God's word motivate you and give you the power to turn away from whatever is not right in your life. Why do we have to do that? I mean, seriously, why? We got time, don't we? We have time to think it through and work it out? No, because Jesus says, I will come, and I'm going to come quick. You hold fast to what you have and don't let anybody take your crown from you. Not that they have the power to do that, but by influence they can guide you and you can follow them away from God and lose that crown. Why do we have to hold fast and repent? Because Jesus said, I will come you as a thief in the night. And you won't know the day or the hour. You see, holding fast means living faithful lives till one of two things happens. You know what those two things are, don't you? You either die, or Jesus comes back before you die. And I prefer the latter only because I want to see that as it happens. But I guess either way, if you're in Christ, you're going to see that because he's going to raise you up from the dead if you did die. He's going to raise you up from Hades, and then you're going to be all together in one place with all the saints. But the thing is that you don't want to wait because he comes like a thief in the night. You don't know the day or the hour. And that's the thing that they have in common. They both have in common that we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to get out of this building tonight. How many churches and people have you heard of that went to school or to church and never made it home in recent history? How many people do you know of that drove their car home and never made it? You just don't know. I had a good friend, Gary Stone. He did my taxes, and he just looked strong and healthy, and one night I got a phone call, Gary died tonight. Totally unexpected. That happens all the time. You don't know when Jesus is coming, and so that means you don't have time. You need to hold fast and repent. In Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I am coming like a thief in the night. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. We want to hold on to that. All right. Well, you have it. There are many more things that the Bible tells us to hold fast to. And I want you to turn with me again to Deuteronomy chapter 11 or watch the screen. I put it up on the screen for you. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26. Listen to this. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. You see that? And he goes on. And he says, it's a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A blessing and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord. Blessing. Think about this. My question right now is, are you living under the blessing? Because you've held fast to these things? Are you living under the blessing because you've obeyed the commandments of Christ? You've heard the word. You believe that word. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've repented of your sins. And you've been confessed Christ and been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Is that where you're at right now? And have you been living your life faithful until death? Are you holding on to the anchor of your soul? Is that your hope? Is that what you're holding fast to? Are you steadfast and sure? Oh, you know. See, you know. Where are you living under the curse? Because you didn't obey the commandments of the Lord. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, in verses 21 and 20 through 23, Paul writes, "For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also..." Listen, if they did not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. He's talking about the power of God to add you to the vine, to add you to the church, the power of God to save your soul. Are you under the blessing? Or are you under the curse? Tonight we have a song of invitation, song number 817. And I want you to think about the words of that song. And I want you to contemplate the outcome of your life depending on whether you're under the blessing or under the curse. Because God the Father is asking for your heart right now. Jesus the Son is asking for your heart right now. And the Holy Spirit of God is asking for your heart right now. Will you give him your heart? The choice is yours. And if you need help in any way, shape, or form, if you need the help of the church, answers to questions of the Bible, if you need prayer, this is the time. You can come forward and sit in one of the pews as we stand and sing the song of invitation.